You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up a little bit later on today on the network, Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6. She is going to talk about fusion voting and what that could mean for Wisconsin elections. So join Maggie today. In the 4 o'clock hour, she's going to be joined by our friend Angela Lang and Law Forward's Jeff Mandel and John Franke, again, talking about fusion voting later on today with Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6 p.m. Right now, we are joined by author Kathy Giorgio. Good morning, Kathy. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
We are wonderful, thank you, and glad to have you with us. We wanted to talk to you. This broke a couple of weeks ago, Kathy, and we just now are able to get to connect with you. But here's the headline from Fox 6 Milwaukee with Brett Lemoyne with the byline, Waukesha North grads books removed. Author wants name off wall of stars. So if you wouldn't mind walking us through what happened with Waukesha and the wall of stars in your books.
Sure, I can. It's actually been almost a several year process. I was very actively in the Waukesha public schools libraries, particularly Waukesha North High School, where I graduated from in 1978. My books were in the library from 2012 to 2023. I was often a presenter in the classrooms. I was in the creative writing classes, the literature classes. I formed a group through the Southeast Wisconsin Festival of Books called Authors in the Schools, in which we sent authors all throughout the area in Wisconsin to visit with students. In 2020, I received a letter from Waukesha North saying that I had been nominated, and accepted to the Waukesha North Wall of Stars, which is for successful alumni in their fields and who have also given back to the community. I was thrilled, you know, to me that was just
a big honor.
It's a huge honor, yeah. And it's personal. You know, it's someone who knew me when. So I accepted, of course, and it was during the pandemic. So the award ceremony was out on the football field so that we could all be safe and masked.
Sure.
So I was there from 2020 on. In 2023, I received notice that there was an article in the Waukesha Patch saying that the Waukesha School District had done a sweep of their libraries, removing books that they considered questionable. It was the only coverage I saw of it. I didn't see it in any other news source. And I thought, well, they wouldn't remove me. I'm on the wall of stars. For heaven's sake.
Right.
So I called and I spoke to two different librarians who knew me. And they said, no, your books are removed with everybody else's. And I finally found out that the books that were removed were sent to an organization that sends books overseas. So apparently I couldn't be read in Waukesha, but they were more than willing to send me to other countries. So I, you know, there's really nothing you can do when your books are removed other than complain,
right?
Which I did, and I didn't really do anything. Well, then last December, 2024, I was asked to appear and speak at the Waukesha North 50th anniversary celebration, and they suggested that I give copies of each of my books, there are 15 books, to the school library as a gift of appreciation. And I thought, great, something must have softened up somewhere. This is a way to get me back into the library. They want me to speak. Wonderful. So in January, I did speak at the celebration. There's photographs of me speaking at the podium with my books next to me and a big screen behind me that showed all the covers of my books. 2 days later, I received a phone call from the principal saying that the books had to go in front of the administration to be accepted. And I thought, uh-oh. But again, they asked me to do this. It took 4 months before I heard from the deputy superintendent of curriculum and learning that they were not going to accept my books because they want books in their library to have protagonists of the same age as their students, okay. High school age students.
All right.
My response was, I was a student there. My kids were a student there. We have kid classes here at my creative writing studio who are from Waukesha North. And I know they are reading The Great Gatsby and they're reading Grapes of Wrath and other books that do not have high school protagonists. Plus 11 out of 15 of my books have high school students in them. So there was no response to that. Then a school board member emailed me and said, well, they like to have the books in their library to have a connection to their core curriculum. And I said, well, from 2012 to 2023, I was your core curriculum.
Your books were part of the curriculum.
Yes, I was listed in reading lists throughout all of the classes. Again, no response to that. And I also asked when I toured the library when I was there in January, there was a big section of Japanese manga and there were romance novels. So what part of those are connected to the core curriculum? No answer. I finally said, as a way of compromise, okay, if we don't put the books in the library, what if we put them on display? You have showcases throughout the school. They can be behind glass. Nobody can touch them.
Right.
Nobody can open them, but they can be on display. And they said they were not in practice of displaying books that are not in the library. So that's when I asked to be taken down from the wall of stars. Oh, because it doesn't make sense to have me on this wall saying that I'm there for literature and have me be a role model, but not have my books available to the students.
That's astonishing. That's astonishing. If you're just joining us, author Kathy Giorgio is our guest, and we are talking about the fact that she's a graduate of Waukesha North High School, was put on their wall of fame, their stars of fame,
yeah.
Because she's a very accomplished author, has numerous titles that were part of the curriculum until a couple of years ago. And Kathy, just give
tell me about it.
Give me a moment.
Jane, your hair's on
shake
fire. Your hair's on fire.
Out.
Okay.
So first of all, let's talk about what is so egregious in your books. What are your books about?
My books do cover difficult topics, some of them. Some of them cover the topics of domestic abuse. Some cover the topic of rape and how we treat women who are raped, and that includes a discussion of abortion. I've written about grief. I've written about body image. You know, I do tackle some of the more difficult subjects.
But these aren't, are we just assuming that our kids know nothing about any of these things? Do we
apparently
think that, do we think our kids don't witness violence in their own homes?
That's apparently the thought behind it, or we're trying to keep them from knowing about it outside of their homes. But I think it's important that they find literary characters that they can follow and learn from.
And you would think, Kathy, and I would think, and I'm going to speak for Jane in this moment, I believe she would think this as well. In such a developmental time like high school, these very heavy and not light topics are best introduced, talked about, educated upon in a classroom setting where questions can be asked, where people can have discussions, and people don't have to feel afraid about talking about it. Like these books in a classroom setting are the perfect way to educate children on the world around them, what can happen, and what to do in these situations. But it seems like, and not just in this situation where the books are being banned, it's a group of people who say, nope, we don't need that. Don't talk about that. I'll talk about it. Don't tell parents what to do with their kids. We'll take care of that, which in most cases, they don't. They'd rather
exactly
not talk about these topics. And just, I don't know, roll with the punches, hope for the best. We'll see what happens later.
Well, it just really feels like we are embracing ignorance is bliss.
Right. I think we are. And we aren't looking at the whole picture of what do kids go through during those 4 years in high school. When my books were in the library, I was contacted every semester by at least one, usually more, students that were doing reports on my books. And the most popular one was a short story collection called Enlarged Hearts, which is all on body image. And the majority of those students then contacting me were girls who dealt with body images themselves. And I mean, we had some fantastic conversations that opened girls' eyes to how they were looking at themselves and what they could do to get some help.
I don't understand how that's dangerous, Kathy.
I don't get it.
I just don't get it. And the other thing that I've said since these book bans and these book purges have been going on, for the parents who are banning these books, I want to see your book report. I don't think you should be able to ban something if you haven't read it yourself and written a little report on it.
Right, exactly.
And we've seen that too. We've seen parents waving books in the air that are so-called dangerous for their children. And it's that notion, again, as I said before, encroaching on their rights as a parent to teach their children whatever they want, which, by the way, I've always felt in the past. I went to school. My parents sent me to school and trusted the teachers to teach me a curriculum. But they wave these books in the air and they say, ban these books. And when someone confronts them, they're like, well, I didn't read the book. The cover just gave me the heebie-jeebies. There were gay people there.
Right. So, I mean, and I think the hardest thing for me is that I went to Waukesha North. I graduated in 1978. And at that time, that was my third high school. I was moved around quite a bit. And I loved that school. Absolutely loved it. And I read books per the curriculum, like Catcher in the Rye, Dinky Hawker Shoot Smack, Tell Me That You Love Me, Junie Moon, and incredible books that really shaped who I am and what I write.
Well, and you know,
it's not there.
Yeah, and you raise such an interesting point. Their whole argument that they only want to have books that include a protagonist that is the age of their high school students, that's absurd. Then throw out every classic that there is.
I mean,
correct.
Except for The Secret Garden, maybe.
If it's high school, then half the Harry Potter books got to go too. Those are young kids. I mean, I just the quote, and the quotes are doing the heavy lifting here. Logic behind all this just seems really in the moment, especially since when you ask questions, Kathy, you get no answers.
Right. Right.
Right.
We're going to get
nobody got answers.
Yeah, nobody's got the answers. We're going to continue our conversation with author Kathy Giorgio. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvi Tini on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment as well if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up after the 10:30 news, Beth Heidorn from the Racine Zoo is going to be joining us in studio, so stick around for that. Right now, though, we are joined by author Kathy Giorgio, a graduate of Waukesha North High School. She was on their wall of fame. She's a very accomplished author. Unfortunately, they have pulled all her books from the curriculum, because apparently there are things in there we don't want our children to know. We have a couple of comments on the live stream or on the text line, Kathy. Dan in Wausau says, if my child learns something about uncomfortable situations, are they indoctrinated? LOL. And Jack from Merrimack says, it's not about books being dangerous. It's about further dividing Americans to distract from the things happening that the Republicans are doing. And I do think to some extent Jack is right. It is, we call them squirrels. We call them squirrels. All of these things just to distract from the bigger picture, especially when we're talking about the budget and all the cuts that are coming in this budget. So.
And Kathy, you wrote an article for People Magazine US talking about this and your response and the way you framed it, like it was like, hey, they asked me to do this thing. I was thrilled. They did this thing. I was shocked. Like it really reads well as a story. And I guess and something we touched on at the end of the previous segment, which was what are kids going to read now? What will they read to get enrichment, to grow, to learn, to understand literature, creative writing? Because you have to, we read in middle school and high school, the greats. And if the greats are too controversial,
what's
who
left?
Are we reading next?
Exactly. And there's been so much that has been cut from the school curriculum. I mean, the school, not just Waukesha North, but other schools, there are no more school newspapers. You know, I was involved in the Creative Writing magazine. There was a literary magazine. Imagine that. I mean, for me, I was in love at this school. And I am still very good friends with my high school creative writing teacher, even though I'm like three times older than what he was when he taught me. So it's that kind of connection that really pushed me to do what I wanted to do. And I worry about the kids who are involved in the arts who are not getting that kind of push in school anymore.
And that encouragement. Yeah, definitely. Connie from Portage is on the line. Good morning, Connie. Thank you so much for joining us. What did you want to say about this?
Good morning. This is my first time calling, but I had to share my family's experience with what you're talking about. I have a college-educated daughter that at the time of my divorce, she was 14. She went to the church, became very religious. Well, she got married, had five children. She went to the school, would tell them what her children could read, whatnot. She didn't like that, so she homeschooled them. So now what has happened? Out of five children, two of them speak to her. The wives don't want anything to do with her. She would not let me have the grandchildren because I thought they should watch, the boys should watch Harry Potter.
It was
just so sad. And also an interesting point is she and her husband both have master's degrees. They're Trumpers besides. Mm. Now, isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
But I thought it's so sad because her five grandchildren are by the one son who they will not speak to her.
That's tragic.
And it is. It's so tragic. It just makes me sick. But anyway, that's what's happened because she tried to control everything they did and everything they saw.
Well, and the thing, then don't let your kids bring out those books. There are already, it's my understanding that in libraries, parents can go to the library and say, my children are not allowed to take out X books, instead of taking them out for every kid. Right, Connie?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I have five children and they're all totally, the other ones are pretty normal.
What? Well, thank you.
That's a whole nother discussion, Kathy. We'll have to have you back for when we talk about that. That's hilarious. Thank you, Connie. Really appreciate you checking in.
But that really is a great example of when parents seem to think that a book, which I don't think a book has ever started a war. Well, never mind. That's a totally different discussion. But when they feel threatened, they do things like this. They go to extremes. They'll pull their children out of school. And that I'm not knocking homeschooling. It can be a great experience. But if their kids aren't learning certain things, they're going to grow up not knowing how to function in the world on a social basis.
You are disadvantaged.
Exactly.
You are disadvantaged, don't you think, Kathy?
I agree. And the thing is, as far as I know, there were no parents that spoke out against my books. I have not been given any information as to why this happened. One of the books, when they talk about having a high school protagonist, is a book of poetry called Olivia in 575, Autism in Haiku. The whole book is about my daughter, who at the time the book came out was a high school student at Waukesha North. So you can't get any more connection there to having a high school protagonist, not only that age, but at that school.
Seriously. And the fact, too, Kathy, that they were unable to give you any justifications for this decision essentially tells me that this was pretty arbitrary.
It seems like it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, we were going to include a link to, do you have a website, Kathy?
Yes, I do.
We will include a link to your website. I highly encourage you to read all of Kathy's books. Read them more than once.
Yeah.
Read them out loud. Just read them on your porch.
Go to North High School and read them in front of the building.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with that. Author Kathy Giorgio, thank you so very much for your time. Kathy, really, really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
News is coming up next. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back. Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Calby on the board. Coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine, where you can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment as well on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We got baseball coming your way a little bit later on today. Our broadcast starts at 6:05 as the crew hosts the Red Sox. You can listen to the game, but you do have to listen to terrestrial radio. The games do not stream. So catch the game tonight starting at 6:05 on WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, WRJN here in Racine and Kenosha, WCQM in Park Falls, and WBZH in Hayward. The crew hosting the Red Sox tonight. Our broadcast starts at 6:05. Delighted to have her joining us in studio. Beth Heidorn is the executive director of the Racine Zoo. Good morning, Beth. How are you?
Good morning. Did you have a good weekend?
We had a great weekend. It was nice. The weather was perfect, I thought.
It was beautiful.
Yeah.
I just think it should be like that all the time. I don't think that's asking too much.
And days off. Like
and days off. Yes, and five long days weekends.
On, 5 days off, two days on. I'm good with that.
No, I like that.
Thank you.
Let's get that plan going.
I got three people on board.
All right, we'll work on that. A lot of reasons why we wanted to have you in, but we're always excited about baby animals. And I know you have a new addition. What?
I'm as excited as you are. I'm not making fun of you.
We love animals.
Do I or do I not cry when we watch the dog videos?
You do.
Thank you.
Yes. We're all a bunch of squishes.
That's okay.
When it comes to animals. So let's talk about the new addition at the Racine Zoo.
Yes. We have a baby Hartman's Mountain Zebra that was just about a month old now.
Yes.
He is a beautiful little animal. His mom, his name is Promise. His dad is Obi.
Okay.
And he's been making the temperatures now. Right. We were just talking about how wonderful the temperature was.
Yeah.
So it's now consistent enough that he can be outside a lot with his mom. He does like to do baby zoomies, little zebra zoomies around his exhibit space.
Zebra zoomies.
I know, right?
I want a shirt that says that.
Oh, we should almost do that.
Zebra
I like that.
Zoomies.
Thank you. I like that plan. And they're from Africa. And so he was part of what we call the SSP plan, so Species Survival Plan. So there's a group of scientists that are in charge of every animal at every accredited zoo or aquarium. And then they work to make sure that the right genetics get matched up, or should they not be breeding, and where they're going to go and that type of stuff. So we were given the green light to breed both Promise and Obi, and our result is a baby boy. It's a male. We're going to be doing a naming contest.
I figured you would.
On June 4th, we're going to be putting more information on that. You guys are the first to hear it. So yay for you, Jane. So we'll be putting some information out that people will be able to bid on the name. We, of course, have to work with the winner.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then we'll announce it in a live feed, a Facebook live feed on the 4th, on that Wednesday, the 4th of June. So we're very excited for that. And we did that the last time we had a baby, and it worked out really, really
great. I bet it did. I'm assuming you are giving people choices to pick from.
Because actually, they're going to be able to choose the name with our guidance.
Okay,
you know,
good.
It can't be...
Because you're going to get Zebra McZebra Face.
We could.
If you allow the public to
we
decide.
We would not do that one. The last one was named, the winner named it after their two children, and then put both their names together and made one name. Mm. So that worked out really good. Those are the types of folks that tend to bid on our naming, but it would have to be a mutually agreed upon name. So that we can put that out there. But we're very excited. So he's such a good boy. And this last weekend, the weather was great.
Yes.
So he was out with his mom and lots of people came to see our baby zebra.
I want to see the zebra so bad.
I know. You can check our Facebook because his zebra zoomies have been on Facebook. Yes, you do need to come out.
My only experience with zoomies was like with my dog. Are they like a dog where it's like, The front legs come down, the butt goes up, and they're like, let's do this.
I have not quite seen that behavior. Okay. It's more like, it's time to run.
Yeah.
Oh, it's time to run. And then he'll just do some zoomies around the exhibit space.
Nice.
If you're just joining us, Beth Heidorn, the executive director of the Racine Zoo, has joined us in studio talking about their new baby. And they're going to have the naming contest, which will also be a kind of a fundraiser.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, and your zoo, and like so many zoos, could not survive without a lot of support from the community.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep. Correct. We are a community zoo. We are 102 years old this year. Mm. I find it interesting sometimes when I'm out and about and people go, I didn't know we had a zoo. I said, we're 102. You'll catch up.
Yeah.
But we are. We are a community zoo. You know, we're talking about people that have come to the zoo. When I first started here, everyone's like, I remember coming to the zoo when I was a little kid.
Yeah.
I remember skating on the pond. If I could bring that back, I would. But right now, I can't.
I like how you start. Like, I can't do it right now.
I can't do it right now.
Please don't email me.
If I had the option, I would do that for everybody. But I always find it nice when I'm talking to, you know, the older generation, and they're like, I had my first kiss on that rock bridge. And you're like, oh my God, that is so precious.
You know adorable. What I mean?
But they remember it. And now they brought their children and their grandchildren, and in many cases, great grandchildren are coming to the zoo with their parents and grandparents. And it's just so special because we are, as I said, we're a community zoo, but we're easy to walk. We're easy to navigate.
Yes.
You can spend 1 hour. You could spend 3, 4, 5, 6 hours there and get your money's worth. I mean, we're incredibly reasonable. Right now, we're in summer hours from 10 to 5. It's $11 for adults, $10 for seniors, $9 for children, between 3 and 15, and 2 and younger is always free at the zoo.
Yeah.
So
That's a great thing. You could do that once a week.
And you don't have to pay to park. You can just park right on the streets, right around the zoo. If we can get that construction done between Maine and Augusta, that would be helpful, but they're working on it.
That's one of the things that is great about Racine, too, that people do not talk about is the affordability. When coming down here, whether it's being on the lake or downtown or the zoo, it's so affordable to spend a day here. And I think, you know, I don't personally have children, but I remember when my sister and her kids, like one of the biggest things that ever was the idea of a zoo pass and be able to instead, because it used to be, if you're going to the zoo, we're packing up. We're there from open to close because we got to get value.
You got to get value. That's right.
But that idea of being able to go to a zoo and spend a few hours and get your money's worth and see great things and then be done. And it's not a thing that it becomes. It's a really fun time.
Right. And we do have memberships as well, you know, starting at $50 all the way on up to $1,000, depending upon what you want for your family and what the value is that you want to get out of it. So it works out really, really great. We're at about 2,100 households right now in the area. So if you average 4 people per household, you know, we're well over 8,000 people that are part of our zoo family.
Oh, that's great.
You know, we just love it.
Well, for the folks who might live in the area who are like, we have a zoo? I didn't know we had a zoo. Where is the zoo?
The zoo is at 2131 North Main Street. So we're at the corner of Main and Gould, which is our main entrance.
And you're really close to the lake.
Oh my gosh, we're a block and a half from the lake. Yeah. And, you know, so it works out really, really great. We actually get people that will come up from, we'll say Illinois. They come to the lake, then they go, oh, we're going to go to the zoo. Mm-hmm. They go back to the lake, they finish their day, they go to dinner, and then they drive back to Illinois. So we're a great tourist area. We do a lot with the Tourism Department of Wisconsin. So it works out really, really great. And we're reasonable, we're affordable, and, you know, who doesn't want to come to the zoo?
Well, and that just tells me that trying to do the same activities in the Chicago area is not only so much more crowded, but so much more expensive.
Absolutely.
Right. And it can be difficult to drive downtown.
Oh, yes.
So, you know, we get a lot of school groups from Northern Illinois as well, because although Lincoln Park is free and we love that zoo, it can be difficult for the buses to get down there.
Yeah.
Have the kids do a great experience, get an education program, and still get back to school on time. They can drive up here. They get an experience, they get walk around, they get a program, and they can have lunch and still get back to school for their parents to pick them up. So we are incredibly affordable, very regional, and we really do a 2-hour distance no matter where you are from our place. 2 hours is a great sweet spot for us, for all the guests that come to see us.
That's wonderful.
I love it.
Beth Heidorn is here, the executive director of the Racine Zoo. Beth, why are zoos important? Because zoos can be a little controversial. Some people say they should all run free and let them all run free. But there are very important and specific reasons why zoos have a place.
Yeah. So we're a conservation education organization. If I had my way some days, maybe I shouldn't. We shouldn't have a job because everyone would take care of the planet. But unfortunately, as we know, people do not take care of the planet. Yeah. They do not take care of their local habitats, their national or international habitats around them. So we are important because what we want to do is we want to make those connections for people to wildlife and wild places. And that's one of the reasons that we exist. We also exist to make more, have animals that are endangered, make more of their own kind. There are animals that have gone extinct in our lifetime that we may or may not have even known existed because we don't know everything about the world. Mm-hmm. We don't know everything about the terrestrial. We certainly don't know everything about the aquatic world and the depths of the ocean.
Right.
So our job is to make sure that we make those connections because we want people to become stewards of the planet. So when those little kids that come to a preschool class and then they become a volunteer and then they start working for us or they go to college and then they come back and work for us, that continuing education of the intricacies of the natural world just warm my heart. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I mean, we want people to be stewards. I mean, people that throw their garbage out the window, I just, if I'm at a stop sign, I will sometimes go up to a car and say, dude, you just threw that out. Come on, man. I mean, it's just, let's be protective.
There are garbage cans where you're going, most likely. Whenever I see like garbage just pop out of a window, I'm like, I don't understand how you do that. I'll never understand.
And I absolutely agree with you. So we are those stewards of the animals. We are their caretakers. Animals haven't been taken from the wild. For those that say, well, they should go run free. Okay. Well, they don't know any better.
Right.
They have been in human care their entire life.
Right.
So
you are putting them in danger almost.
That's correct.
Right?
That's correct.
If you send them back.
That's correct. So send your money, go take care of the wild places that are not from here, of those exotic animals that you just think should go run wild that are not going to be helped by doing that. That's not how conservation programs work.
Well,
so,
and unfortunately, poaching still happens.
It absolutely does.
If you read any amount of news, you know that this is still a big issue. And we have game preserves all over the world.
Yes, we do.
But still, poaching.
But even those.
Yes.
I agree, Jane. And we've got to take care of those too. Almost more because people know that there are animals within that space because they're being protected.
Yep.
So those poachers, if they want to do it, if they want to be mean and naughty, they're going to figure out a way. And we need to be counteracting those behaviors.
You had mentioned the volunteers, which I love the name for that. I'm assuming you're always looking for volunteers?
Yeah. So we have volunteers, which are 13 to 18-year-olds. And then after that, they become an adult volunteer. So we have some that have done that progression all the way up. And we have our volunteers do everything from work events to help us do mailings, to help do data entry for our animal care staff, to helping do data entry for kids taking summer camp.
Nice.
So our volunteers, or they are doing interpretation at an exhibit space. So that's great.
Oh, that
and then our
like
volunteers
fun.
Are helping like with an events and they're helping kids make crafts and doing games with kids. So from all ages, we're a community zoo and we have groups that come and volunteer.
That's
companies
great.
That have, you know, community service hours. And so we'll get those coming in and they'll come for 2-3 hours. We give them a project. They do it. They feel good. We feel great. It's just wonderful. There's lots of ways to support the zoo.
Get involved with the Racine Zoo. We will include the link to their website in our show notes. Beth Heidorn is the executive director. If you need a baby zebra walker, I am the one for you.
I will count on you, Jane.
Stay with us. We're going to wrap up the show when we come back with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Kevin Nader on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Thanks again to Beth Heidorn from the Racine Zoo for stopping in. If you'd like to volunteer, you'd like to maybe suggest a name for their new baby zebra.
I was thinking Stevra the zebra.
You could do that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I don't know if that's a good one.
You know what? I don't offer to you offering names.
It's completely subjective. Who am I to judge? At least it's not
Who am I to judge?
At least it's not Zebra McZebra Face.
That's true.
Which is
that's true.
Yeah. You know someone would do that if it were just wide open for everybody. But anyway,
I'd also vote for that.
If you would like to volunteer with the Racine Zoo, check our show notes, and we will have a link in there so you can find out more. Coming up tomorrow, we got kind of a wide open show tomorrow. No guests scheduled at this point. We are working on potentially being joined by State Rep. Renuka Mayadev.
All right.
To talk about childcare.
Yes.
And the Democrats have come up with their own suggestions since the Joint Finance Committee and essentially Robin Voss and the rest of the Republicans seem to think that our childcare is just fine in Wisconsin.
Just be younger, work more, and
drop out of the workforce.
Grandma, grandpa, aunts, and uncles.
Step up.
Step up already. My goodness, you lazy people.
It is 10:54, Calvin. That means it is time for. As always, if you have a thing you think should not be, send it into Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. This from Eyewitness 7 News. Calvin found this one. Evelyn Holmes with the byline. The headline reads, cleanup continues after leaking propane tank explodes in box truck. Now, the reason we wanted to include this is because of the video element. Somebody's Ring camera actually caught this.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
You will watch it over and over again because not only is it,
it's a fire. It turns into a fireball.
It turns into a fireball and then it is nothing.
Yeah. It's here it is and now it's gone.
And the driver sustained minor injuries.
It's astonishing. This has happened in Addison, Illinois. Repairs and cleanup just starting in Addison after a leaking propane tank exploded in the back of a box truck. It happened on Saturday morning. Somebody's Ring camera caught it.
Yeah.
No one was hurt. The driver escaped serious injury and walked away. The entire back of the truck is gone.
Yeah, it's not like a movie explosion. It almost looked like a stunt, if you will.
Yes.
It really did. Like the box portion of the truck was made of some material that it just disappears.
Yeah.
And there's a car sitting there in the driveway where the Ring camera catches it, and it looks like it wasn't even bothered. Like nothing happened.
Well, it's that the owner of that car is pretty lucky because there were some big panels that blew off the side of that truck that just missed that car.
Yep.
But yes, investigators say they think a propane tank that was being carried in the box truck was leaking before it went boom. The truck belonged to a truck rental company, which has a strict policy in their agreement about transporting anything flammable, explosive, or hazardous. That's going to be a problem. A spokesman has confirmed the customer that was renting the truck was moving household and personal items and also apparently a tank of propane.
Jesus God.
There was surprisingly little fire, but the force of the blast did damage several nearby homes.
Yeah. But luckily, no one walked away. No one
got
was
hurt.
Carried away, I guess you'd say.
Seriously, that driver walked away from this.
It just made me remember that I left the gas on the grill. It's fine. It's not being started. But now I'm thinking about propane and like propane products, and we're gonna have a.
Don't put it in the back of your car.
Well, that's the thing. So when we would move, we'd always put the propane in the car because you can't put it in a U-Haul. You can't put that stuff in those trucks. So it's always that stuff goes in the car on the way to the new location because I'm not going to pay for a brand new truck.
And make sure it's turned off.
And this right here is proof why my decision was right.
You want to look at the video.
Oh, my gosh.
It's pretty astonishing. Yep. Greg will have that in the show notes in just a second. Mm-hmm. You can always find our show notes at civicmedia.us. Just click on shows at the top. Go to Matt Nair on Air and click on that. And then we have an archive of at least 100 shows if there is something you would like to go back and listen to. That wraps up today's episode of... Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. Keep it right here. We have news coming up next. Todd Alba takes over after Tom Hartman from 11 to 2. Mm-hmm. Then Todd from 2 to 4. Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6. Pete Schwabba with Nightlight from 6 to 8 p.m.
What a lineup.
What a great lineup.
And then there's great programming after that, too.
Absolutely.
My gosh.
Don't miss out.
Civic Media rules.
Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Have a great day. We will see you tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.